Today is November 11th, 2015, and this is episode number 332 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, wannabe lockpick. Lockpick, not a locksmith. To get the full story on anything, what am I saying here? Let's see here. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, with the exception of my career as a lockpick, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
I'm really proud of you for being able to get through the intro like that.
Well, you know, we've only done it, what episode is this?
332.
Yeah. So, you know, we've only done it like, I don't know, 325 times for me.
Well, actually, not that many, because remember, the show started long, long ago with Ricky Spiro.
That's true. That's true. So I probably only, well, that explains it. I've done it like maybe 270 times.
Yeah. So yeah. It totally makes sense. I mean,
yeah, another few hundred and I'll get it down.
It's going to be awesome.
You know, when you're a writer, when you're a fiction writer, you get to call learning how to pick locks research.
Is that so?
Pro tip.
All right. Well, now this is giving me ideas about books that I should write, just so that I can do different kinds of, I'm doing air quotes now, research.
Exactly. I'm surprised you didn't learn how to pick locks when back in your police days.
I didn't need to.
Because you had battering rams?
Yeah, that's the best lock pick I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
And for getting in cars, we would just use a Slim Jim. Not the food. It's this flat metal strip that's about a yard long or meter long, if you're into that, that slips between the weather stripping and the window.
Yeah, but you gotta have a different one for each car. Did you have a full set?
No, you don't.
A lot of cars need a very specific Slim Jim.
That's so cute.
See, these are things you didn't know about us, folks.
Yeah.
It's a true story. It seemed like for the first 3 years, 4 years that I knew Jeff, it seemed like every week I learned about some new career that he had before he started writing for us.
I got around.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You did. And but I have been learning how to pick locks, because I figured being able to write about that accurately could come in handy someday.
Sure. And I thought it was really fun. Was it at CES last year when you started showing me how to pick locks?
Yeah, which is, you know, LOL funny, because it's not like I know what I'm doing.
Well, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, so all hail Brian.
Yay, King One-Eyed Brian. One-Eyed Brian. Here's an honest pro tip. Cheap locks are not worth the time
they're made
it takes
out of?
To look at them. Yeah, on plastic. I mean, I've got a master lock here, a cheap one, and I can crack it. I can pick it in 1 to 3 seconds when I'm not trying.
I watch
and I don't know what I'm doing.
Very quickly last year, it wasn't that fast, but you've had many months to work on this.
Yeah, so someone who actually knows what they're doing, cheap locks are not going to keep them out. Don't get cheap locks. That's all I'm saying. Don't get cheap locks. Spend the money. Get a solid, decent lock that's going to require bolt cutters.
I think that's really good advice. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine.
we are so far afield. Okay, this is ridiculous. Let's talk about the iPad Pro. You just got the iPad Pro.
I did. You were up really late, so you were able to let everyone know when pre-orders started.
Yeah, because Apple didn't let us know.
No, they didn't.
It was going to start Wednesday, but they didn't actually bother to tell us when.
Right. So it was, what, midnight-ish Pacific time?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah. And then when I got around to actually placing my pre-order this morning, which would have been around 5:30-ish Pacific time, I just did it on my iPhone, and one of the options that was there said I could order it for in-store pickup today. So I did. And I went and picked it up a little while ago, and I have the new iPad Pro. And wow, this thing, I haven't had time to do a lot with it, but the little that I have, I'm really impressed so far. It is big, and it's, even though I knew how big it was going to be, it's bigger than I thought it was going to be. Which at first I was like, oh man, is this going to be a problem for me? But after I got back to my office and took it out of the box, it was a different story. When I was playing with it in the store, remember, you have to remember it has the cables coming off of it for security and all of that.
And you're not sitting down.
Yeah. It felt bulky, but at the same time light. And getting it home, no cables plugged in, it's not bulky. And I'm having this this issue where I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around the size versus the weight, because it looks like it should weigh a lot more than it does. And I know it weighs more than my iPad Air, but it doesn't feel like it does. It's really weird.
Yeah, that perception, like the an ounce of gold sitting in your hand is going to feel like it weighs more than something that's,
like an ounce of flour.
Yeah, probably. I was thinking something something that's much bigger that weighs 2 or 3 or 4 ounces, but occupies more space, is not going to feel as heavy. There's a density thing that messes with our perceptions.
Yeah, that's true. But there you go. It doesn't feel as heavy as you would think it would, which is actually really nice. And when I was playing around in the store where I could put different accessories on it, it just never got as heavy as I thought it was going to be. So that's actually really cool. I'm very pleased with the weight on this thing.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
And it
of course, what that really means is that Apple could have made the darn battery bigger. But that's just nitpicking.
They could have.
And yes, I have met Apple before.
Okay, good. Yeah, they could have made the battery bigger, but I'm actually okay that they didn't, because if it weighed what I thought it would, then it would weigh more than it should, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I was afraid that I just melted your head with that one.
No. I get it. And it is important. It's important that this device be comfortable to use because of its dimensions.
Yes. It's definitely a two-handed iPad.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's okay. But it's two-handed not because of the weight. It's just the size.
That also makes sense. You mentioned in the towers, the TMO towers, that the box looks so good you didn't even want to take the shrink wrap off.
Yeah. Apple gets packaging really well. And I had a very what's the right word to use? What I had was a really nice juxtaposition with packaging for another product that was sent to me for review. So this other thing, it's a smart light bulb from some company, and I can't remember who they are off the top of my head, but the packaging was really cheap. And then here I have the packaging for the iPad Pro sitting beside it, and I was almost embarrassed for the packaging on this light bulb. And yeah, so finally I broke down and I took the shrink wrap off the box. And when I opened it, I mean, the box is nicer than some products that I've bought. Apple really gets the whole experience.
Yeah, that's something that that we can thank Steve Jobs for. I'm sure that he didn't do the implementation, but he was the one who first started insisting
I'm glad that he did.
Computer packaging be good, and it is good that has survived him. That said, the packaging on the Apple Watch Sport was awful. Hated that long plastic box.
Yeah, that was weird. It was a long plastic box inside a really durable cardboard box, packed inside a brown shipping box. And that was weird packaging. But the iPad Pro, it's really nice packaging. It's that same heavy cardboard that they used on the iPad, or excuse me, on the Apple Watch box. But it's done appropriately. And I'm sure it makes a difference because it's a much bigger product overall, just physically. But yeah, I mean, it's really nice. I know some people just really get bent out of shape about unboxing videos and just the whole thing with describing the packaging for a product. But there's a reason why we do it. And it's because Apple really gets it. And it's part of the whole experience. I felt really good taking my new iPad out of the box. And it was, I guess you could say it was an emotional experience. And it just has an impact on you. And it's part of that first impression with a new product. It's really nice that Apple pays attention to details like that.
Yeah, and Apple has helped sort of list the bar. There are a lot of other companies have caught on to this, and have dedicated time to good packaging. Now, I suppose if people more interested in efficiency and minimalism could reasonably argue that this is all a waste of time and it's just money, and you know when we have to pay for this packaging, but you know I the experience matters to me.
It matters to me as well. So here's another comparison. I replaced my video camera, my webcam, a week or so ago, and I got a Logitech camera, and it's really nice, and it works really well, and I'm very pleased with it. But the packaging just really did nothing for me. And taking it out of this big plastic box and all this tape and cardboard origami, and by the time I got the camera out, it was no longer an experience where I was enjoying having a new product. That it was just simply the process of get this fracking packaging material out of my way.
And this is a Tony Fadell product.
No. This is just a Logitech camera.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so...
No, but you did. But didn't you get a Nest... You got a Nest cam, didn't you?
My girlfriend did.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah, and the packaging for that was not the same quality as Apple, but it was good. It was done really well.
You know, kind of typical of Google.
Yeah, and Amazon...
Not Apple quality, but good.
Yeah, but it was a lot nicer than a lot of other products. The other company that I think is doing really good packaging, like nearly on Apple's level, but not quite there, Amazon. I got a Fire Stick to plug into my TV, and the package showed up, and it was nice quality packaging for the Fire Stick, and everything. The printing was really nice. The interior was this orange color that goes along beautifully with all of their marketing materials. And it was really cool because when the Fire Stick showed up, everything was done. There was no setup. It was pre-configured with my Prime account. So all I had to do was plug it into my television. And well, I did have to put the batteries.
What if it wound up in someone else's hands?
Well, there is that, but that didn't happen. So it was a really cool.
Yeah, it didn't happen with you this time, but I mean, products go astray all the time, especially when Amazon's going to start delivering the stuff with drones. And people are going to be shooting those things out of the sky.
Well, luckily, I got mine before the great drone wars of 2016.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not too keen. I think you should have to sign in. I'm not too keen on that at all. I didn't. This is news to me, by the way. I was not aware that this was the
case. I actually thought it was really cool. It was a really neat experience. Just take it out of the box, plug it in, and you're done. And to compare that with the Apple TV setup, that could have required me to manually enter stuff, but all I had to do is bonk my iPhone on the Apple TV, and that was set up. So that was cool, and that fits better with what it sounds like you're comfortable with, where the device isn't already linked to you.
Yeah, I much prefer some kind of, hey, this is who I am, not, I mean, like I said, these things can wind up in someone else's hands.
It could have, but it didn't, and it was a cool experience.
I mean, and can you shop with the Fire Stick?
I don't know.
Movies and stuff with the Fire Stick? Or buy music?
Yes.
Because then it becomes even more
content.
Becomes even more dangerous for it to be pre-configured.
Yeah, I think for that you do have to authenticate. But just to plug it in and start using it and watching free content, that was no big deal.
All right, okay, well that's a little better. Anyway, back to the iPad.
Anyway,
you got the iPad. You like it. You've only been playing with it for a few hours.
Yeah. Just a couple hours. And man, I'm really liking it. The first thing that I did after I got it set up and just configured it as my iPad was to start putting apps on. And it was interesting because typically on an iPad, I know exactly what I'm going to put on. And I just start loading stuff up. But in this case, I was really thinking, what do I want on this iPad? And I got the 128 gig model, so it wasn't that I was worried about storage. But it was more of a thing where I don't want to put any apps on here that are not already preset or coded to be iPad Pro ready. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be very interesting. If your app is not ready for iPad Pro, I'm not interested in it right now. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. So let that be a warning to developers. Make sure your stuff is iPad Pro ready before you ask me to test it out now.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my first iPad with Touch ID, and I was surprised how glad I was to have Touch ID here. And like to the point where after setting up my first fingerprint in it, I'm suddenly very annoyed that I have to, like an animal, enter a passcode on my iPad Air.
I'm also glad that it did. Apple's usual pattern is that they bring a significant hardware technology to one iOS to the other first. And then the next year they bring it to additional devices, perhaps to a new platform. So we got Touch ID first with the 5S, right?
Yeah,
5S. Yes, let's call 5S. It the 5S.
Yes, 5S.
And it was the next year before the iPad saw it.
Right.
And it actually kind of, I don't like that. It annoys me. It annoys me. And I was very surprised that the iPad Pro didn't have 3D touch.
I'm actually surprised too. I'm assuming it has to do right now with technology limitations, like doing a 3D touch sensor grid on a surface this large isn't reliable.
But
I don't know.
Maybe it could be that, or it just could be that Apple prefers to take it one generation at a time.
That could be.
But still, in this case, it annoys me. It annoys me. It annoys me.
It doesn't annoy me, but it disappoints me. And I was surprised how, within the first few minutes of playing with the iPad Pro, that I was already confused when I was pressing firmly on the edge of the screen to get to the app switcher view, mm-hmm. and it didn't work. It's because there's no 3D yeah. touch.
Right, there's no 3D touch. And, you know, this is such a new device. It's such a new – I think it should have been introduced with 3D touch. If there is a technical limitation to being able to implement that on a display of that size, I get it. If it's actually Apple just being cautious like it was with Touch ID, yeah, I'm kind of annoyed. Yeah. I'd like to see these new hardware features that Apple is inventing and coming up with and thinking so differently about. I really like to see like every product introduced that year get it.
That would be cool.
I don't, and part of it is because I don't like the idea of having different experiences for brand new products.
Yes, and in this case, there with Touch ID, or excuse me, with 3D Touch, there's so much that it adds to the user experience that it's actually jarring to not have it.
Yeah, and the same thing with Touch ID. Having Touch ID on the iPhones at first, and then not having them on any iPads for a full year, it's just weird. It makes for this disparate experience. Yeah, Apple has fixed that since. You can get Touch ID on an iPad Air 2. Of course, the iPad Air 2 wasn't upgraded this year like it has been every year, which is also super freaking annoying.
Yeah, well, I'm certain that's because we got the iPad Pro, and Apple wanted to make sure the focus stayed there.
Yeah, I'm not okay with that either. Apple's a big company. Apple's mm-hmm. a big company. Apple should have updated the Air also. So next year is the iPad Pro not going to be updated, but we'll get an update to the Air 3.
That's a good question. That's not going to
be any better for me.
Nope.
So we're going to do a 2-year development cycle now? That doesn't make any sense in the world of consumer electronics. Doesn't make sense. I mean, like Apple's own pattern of yearly updates to the iPhone was in and of itself different from the rest of the industry. And it makes sense. And Apple has obviously been fabulously successful at it. But
yes,
you know, what are we going to now with the iPad? Are we going to 2-year development cycles? That doesn't make any sense. And it certainly doesn't help stem the slowing sales of the device. I want an iPad Air 3. I have an iPad Air. And mm-hmm. I want to update. I'm certainly not going to update it now to technology that was released a year ago. This is part of why I'm being so pissy about this, is because, you know, I want a new iPad.
You know, the iPad Air, we have the same model, the first generation of the iPad Air. Mm-hmm. And neither of us updated it because iPad Air 2 came out and there wasn't anything significant to make us really want to make the jump.
Touch ID.
But yeah, well, I was significant enough.
Well, okay, for me, I was going to wait for the iPad Air 2, in part because I was waiting for Touch ID, but then I went and dropped my iPad 3.
Oh, right, your physics experiment.
Yeah. My physics, yeah, my de facto physics experiment where I discovered that dropping the you know, if you drop the iPad enough, it eventually will crack and shatter.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank you for running that experiment for us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Indeed. And so I had to get the iPad Air mid-cycle. It's about 4 months, I think, before the iPad Air 2 was we were expecting the iPad Air 2. And mm-hmm. by the way, that expectation was justified in that, you know, the iPad Air 2 was announced when we thought it would be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I would have waited for the 2, but having just gotten the Air when the 2 came out, I wasn't in a position to update it again. But I'm ready. I'll get an iPad Air 3 now. Oh, that's right. I can't because Apple hasn't announced it, and Apple is still shipping year old technology for the iPad Air.
Yes.
I don't like that. It annoys me.
It bothers me.
It feels like Apple dropped the ball on that. Unless Apple quietly releases one before Christmas without any kind of media event. I am totally okay with the idea of keeping the media event focused on the iPad Air Pro. The iPad Pro. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But Apple should have an iPad Air 3 out now. I feel very strongly about that.
It is kind of surprising that we don't have that, especially since the iPad Mini was updated to be an iPad Air 2 with a small screen.
Yeah, the iPad Mini was upgraded to the iPad Air's one-year-old innards. That didn't make sense to me either. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm cranky. I'm super cranky.
You are cranky.
I'm just like whine. I'm cranky about this.
You know, I'm not as cranky about it as you are, and you know why? Because I have an iPad Pro in my hands right now. And it's really
well
cool.
Played, sir. Yeah. Well played.
Oh, Brian, when you get a chance to go look at one of these in a store, you need to. I mean, we know what a Retina screen looks like, but it's just beautiful on the iPad Pro.
Oh, I bet.
And the performance on this thing, everything is just so slick and so fast and so smooth. And it just feels so nice to use. And one of the things that I tested like right away was how it felt to draw on one.
Sure. Pencil?
Yes.
In the store?
Yes, because they had demo pencils in the store.
But you can't actually get the pencil for yourself until November 20th.
Well, actually, that may not be the case. So what I found out when I was in the store was that they did have a very limited supply first thing in the morning, and they just immediately sold out. Huh. And so they may get more styluses between now and then. So what my plan is now, I'm going to just call the Apple store in the morning and see if they have any in stock. And if they do, I'm just hopping in the car, driving over and picking one up. And then I will cancel my Apple Pencil pre-order.
How do you not have an Apple store within walking distance?
I do, actually.
Kind of like you're living some kind of like an animal or something.
I have an Apple store that is totally in walking distance, but I drive to it during the day because during the day I'm also writing and podcasting, and it just takes that much less time.
Yeah, walking distance is like less than a half mile away.
Oh, no, it's more than half a mile away.
Yeah, okay. That's walking distance to me. Your mileage will vary, literally.
Yeah, it's about a mile away for me.
I see. That's a hefty walk.
Yeah, it's a nice walk, and I certainly don't mind doing it.
And I've met your boss. He's kind of a jerk.
Oh, you've met him too.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I don't blame you for, like, you know, driving and not spending all that time walking.
Yeah, he can be a real jerk, but great for cuddling. So I hear.
All right, you were going to tell us about using the pencil.
Oh, I was. Yes. Okay, so I tried the pencil first in Paper by 53 because that's my app of choice for drawing.
And this is at the Apple Store. I want to emphasize that.
Yes, and I was using the demo iPad because they actually hadn't even brought my box to me yet, so I didn't have my own yet. And wow, it was so smooth, and it felt so much more natural than any other tablet-based drawing experience I've ever had. And I was really pleased. The Apple Pencil is longer than I expected it to be. And
is that good or is that bad?
That's perfectly fine because it balances really well. It has the right weight and the right balance, and it's the right diameter. So they totally got all of that right. It just happens to be longer than I thought it would be based on the videos and photos we'd seen so far. And when I started drawing with it, I knew I was drawing on a tablet, but it didn't have that tablet feel that I've had with my other iPads and every other stylus that I've used. The tip on the Apple Pencil, this is more like the tip that I wish that Adonit had been able to do, like in the last year or two. I mean, it's a plastic tip, but it doesn't feel like a plastic tip. It didn't have that clackety, slick, slidey, disconnected from what you're drawing feel that you get with other fine point plastic styluses. This had a much more natural feel. It felt more like I was drawing on paper that had a very slick coating on it, not like plastic on glass. And that was a really nice experience. My assumption is that the people at Adonit were scrambling this morning to hit all the Apple stores they could to be able to find pencils to buy so they can take them apart and see exactly what Apple did. And I mean, if I was making a stylus, it's exactly what I would do. So I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's just, if they're smart, this is something they've already done. Because that tip that Apple made, they got it. Mm. So I'm really excited to be able to get one of these for myself so I can start doing a lot more with it. It's the stylus that I wish all these other companies had been able to make. And that's after using it for like 5 minutes. That's how impressed I was with the Apple Pencil.
And you've used, just to give our listeners your bona fides here, you've used how many styli?
At least 50.
Least 50 styli you have used.
And the stylus that I settled on is my day-to-day stylus, mm-hmm. is the Pencil by 53. So it's the flat one. It looks like a drafting pencil.
Yeah, I see.
Or they don't call it drafting pencil. They call it not a construction pencil, but anyhow, the kind of pencils you pick up at Home Depot.
It's a drafting pencil style, whatever they call it.
Yeah, so it's the flat thing.
Where does the bamboo fit in your hierarchy?
The bamboo I don't use anymore. But it's a stylus that I really like. I just don't use it anymore.
And the bamboo is by
Wacom.
Wacom, and I have that one. I like that one. I probably only use 5 styluses.
The reason I don't use the bamboo anymore, although I carry it with me, pretty much everywhere I go, it's because it's not pressure sensitive.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's got a great feel to it, though. But yeah, where does it fit? Where does it fit in your hierarchy?
Okay, so let's see. So the number one stylus for what I have, Paper by 53, and then the Adobe Ink, and then I put the Bamboo third.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, it's a really good stylus, but it's not pressure sensitive, and I need the pressure sensitivity. More often than not. Now, I'm curious to see what happens with the styluses that I carry with me everywhere I go once I can get an Apple Pencil in my hand. Because that was a really, really nice experience. I need to have me one of those really bad.
Fair. I'm sorry, which one? The Apple? I started multitasking, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, Brian, this is all about me, okay? Guy. Anyhow.
So you want the Apple one, and you're keen to get it, and it's probably going to become your daily driver, huh?
It's very likely that it could become my daily driver. Yeah. We'll see. I'm going to keep watching, and hopefully Apple will get some more in the Boulder store, which is the one that I can walk to. Except that my boss is just, you know, he makes me cry.
Guy's a jerk.
He makes me cry. Anyhow, I want to get that one in my hands right away. And it's actually really bothering me for another reason that I don't have one. And for me, the thing that really sets the iPad Pro apart far more than anything else from Apple's other iPads is the pencil. I mean, without that, it's a bigger iPad to me.
Mm.
It's the pencil that's really going to make this a,
which is, you know, fine. I mean, the iPad Pro, in my opinion, is designed to simply expand Apple's footprint here. This isn't the new form factor. This isn't supposed to like outsell the Air or the Mini. It's to expand the iPad's footprint. It's to expand its use case scenarios. It's to allow Apple to sell more, not to become like the biggest selling device of all time.
Right. Yeah. This adds to the diversity.
Yeah, it's an iterative expansion.
Yeah.
Of the product line. So there are plenty of people for whom the larger form factor will be enough to use it, and who are not interested in using the stylus. And to emphasize there, your interest in the stylus is for drawing. It's not for like basic text input.
Right.
Or, yeah, you know, basic app manipulation. It's for drawing.
Yes. For me, it's an artistic tool. And until I get that stylus, I don't think I really get to take advantage of the higher resolution sensor grid that's in the iPad Pro.
Right.
And that's a big thing for me, because right now I have to deal with the clever interpolation that stylus makers have been doing so that I can use a fine point stylus on an iPad Air. But when I draw a diagonal line, it's wavy. And that's an artifact of the I'll call it the more coarse grid.
Yeah. Yeah, the grid.
Yeah. So can you tell? I really want to get that pencil in my hand.
I can tell. And I fully expect that for me, the iPad Pro, which I don't have yet, and have not ordered, and I'm not intending to order, as well as the pencil, which I also do not have and am not intending to order. I fully expect these two devices to turn me into an artist.
I'm expecting it too. I can't wait to go to your first showing. I'll even wear a tux. Seriously, I have one in my closet.
I'll draw a picture of you in a tux.
I want that. Seriously, I want you to draw a picture of me in a tux. I'm going to print it and frame it and put it on my wall. I am not kidding.
I cannot draw. Drawing is voodoo to me. It's just, I so respect people who can draw, because I cannot draw. Cannot draw. All right. The Apple Store. Now, we've been talking about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably have some people out there wanting it.
Yes.
Christmas is coming up.
Yes.
Various other holidays for various other reasons. That wintertime gift-giving time is upon us.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And some people are going to be buying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to buy from the Apple Store, if they go to macobserver.com/Apple Store,
yes,
they'll be able to click through to our link to the Apple Store. It's an affiliate program, and we end up getting a percentage back from Apple. It's managed by a third party, but you know, it's all for Apple for having sent you to them.
That's really cool. That's really cool. What was that URL?
It was Apple. No, it's not. It's macobserver.com/Apple Store. It's there all the time. You know, just you're good to go. And it helps us pay the bills. And so, paying the bills is what helps us bring this content.
That's true. It's thanks to money like that we can keep podcasts like this or the other ones that you like on the air.
Yeah, a podcast, the written content that we do, with ad blockers and content blockers becoming ever more popular. Quite frankly, affiliate programs become ever more important to us.
Yep.
That's true. If you're going to shop at Apple, do it by going to macobserver.com/Apple Store and clicking on the link to the Apple Store. It's just right there.
It's right there. And And I know there's a lot of you that have been holding off until you heard what I had to say about the iPad Pro. And by the mm-hmm. way, thanks for actually wanting to know what I think about a product like this before you buy one. That's really flattering. But now you can use that link, MacObserver.com/Apple Store, when you go and order your iPad Pro.
Or your pencil. And your pencil, actually, because the pencil is nothing but a glorified stylus, unless you're using it with the iPad Pro.
Actually, it's nothing more than a stick you hold in your hand, unless you're using it with the iPad Pro.
Well, it still has a tip that you can use. You could use it as a pointing device.
You can use it as
a stylus on another iPad.
No, you can't. It only works with iPad Pro.
It won't register on the screen at all?
No.
Are you sure about that?
I'm absolutely certain.
How?
I am so certain that I even tested it today in the store just to make sure that I was as certain as I thought, and I am. It only
you took it over to an iPad Air, and it did not register at all.
I took it to the screen of my iPhone 6S, and it did not work. When I needed to sign for picking up my iPad, you know, that Apple has the iPhone 5Ss that they use in store as their little portable terminals.
Yeah.
They hand that to me, and I took the stylus and tried to sign with that. And the Apple employee, she chuckles and says, "Yeah, I tried it too. I really
interesting. I clearly A didn't know that, and B was not expecting it. I assume it would just be a dumb pointing device and not smart. You know, couldn't use the edge to do stuff that wouldn't be able to do any fine grid stuff because the grid isn't even there. But I expected it to work as a dumb stylus.
Well, it does in the sense that if you had, say, a poster with a diagram explaining something, you needed to point and take a step to the left. You can do that.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. So, all right. So if you can order the iPad Air and the Apple Pencil, do so by going to MacObserver.com/Apple Store. The affiliate link is just right there. It doesn't cost you anything extra. This isn't adding anything. It's just Apple rewarding us for sending people to them.
Yeah, which is really cool. Yeah. Hey, we haven't talked about the keyboard yet. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. We should do that too.
Yeah. Okay. So I tried out the keyboard, and just to be clear, I tried it out already in a frame of mind where I was pretty sure I was not going to like this. Okay.
Which should have been your first clue that you're going to love it, but go ahead.
I did like it. I was very, very surprised. The keyboard, I was able to adapt to typing on it very quickly. I assumed I wasn't going to like it because I'm not a big fan of Apple's aluminum keyboards.
Okay.
So this is like a variation on that. And I just didn't think I was going to like it that much. But it turns out that it actually felt really solid. I expected it to feel kind of wobbly with the keys. It did not. With the kind of fabric-y, rubbery, whatever coating layer that's over all the keys, I expected it to feel just kind of weird. You remember really old school, the PC Junior?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I had in mind for the keyboard, which is kind of these wobbly, rubbery keys that you have to like really work to press to get to work right. I know we're talking about Apple, and that's not what they would let out the door, but that was the image I had in my mind.
But yeah, it's not going to stop you from actually having the wrong idea in your head. I get it.
Yeah, I'm not going to let the facts get in the way of.
Like I said, your boss is a jerk.
I know. I have to go cry. I'll be right back. okay, now that we're back. That was a really good edit. what I found was that it felt far more natural than I expected. It was mm-hmm. actually pretty nice, and I was able to type fairly accurately on it. Not as accurately as I do on my Matthias Tactile Pro, but keep in mind, it's a very different keyboard, and I'd only been using it for 5 minutes.
So, and you're standing up. You're not sitting down at a desk, and you're not sitting with it in your lap.
Yes, it was an awkward position for typing. You're not going to type with this on your lap. I can tell you that right now, because it's just not going to work. The way the cover folds around to hold up the iPad, it's kind of clever, but this is not going on your lap.
I see.
You need a solid flat surface to put this on. So it'll be great.
Does it only work if the iPad is attached to it?
Yes. It only works with the iPad attached. And that's because
also have a Bluetooth functionality?
No, everything passes through the magnetic connector, including power. So,
that was right.
So if you pull the keyboard cover off, it is non-functional. But attaching it is real easy. You just get them close together, click, everything goes together, and it just works.
Kind of like a Microsoft Surface.
It's very, very much like that, but not with the weird dancing commercials.
The weird dancing and the angry schoolgirls?
Right.
Angry children dancing?
Man, those were some cranky kids.
They were some totally cranky kids. And also another difference is that Apple isn't making that the selling point. We don't have commercials, at least not yet. We don't have commercials where people are like happily or angrily snapping these things together. Oh, to be fair, the angry school kids in the Microsoft commercial didn't actually have the Surface in their hands. Maybe that's why they were angry.
Yeah,
maybe. I always assumed it was they were angry because they had to be in a Surface commercial.
Let's go with that. Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah. Okay. Angry. So when you fold this keyboard up, because it's also the cover, you have to do this kind of funky fold thing. And the first time I went to do it, I'm like, wait, how do these pieces go? And then I realized all you really need to do is just pull, like you're going to pull the cover off, but you don't pull quite that hard. The keyboard folds over, and now you have a cover that's the right size for the iPad. Fold that over so that it's actually the lid, and you're done. And it doesn't take up the space that I thought it would. Your iPad is still really thin, and even with the keyboard cover on, it weighed a lot less than I expected it to. The photos that I have seen that Apple has put online showing the side view with the keyboard cover folded and covering the display, Apple shouldn't have released those photos because they make it look like this is a weird, clunky thing, and it's not. It folds so that everything just sits kind of smooth and flat, and it was very streamlined. It was not what I was expecting after seeing Apple's photos. So I was impressed, and I haven't pre-ordered a keyboard. I'm deciding if that's something that I need, and I'm going to wait until I've had some time to really use my iPad Pro and figure out what apps I really want on this and what my ultimate intentions are for the way I use it. So I may get a keyboard for it. I may not. We'll see. But I liked it.
Makes sense. And it's also not available till the 20th. Are they going to have some quantity slipping in, do you think? Did you ask?
They're expecting that they'll have limited quantities, just like with the Pencil. So, yeah. You may be able to pick one up earlier. It's just a matter of getting lucky and being in the store at the right time to get one before everyone else snaps them up.
But we don't know that. We know that for sure on the Pencil. We don't know that for sure on the Smart keyboard.
Right.
Okay. I just want to clarify that.
This is the impression that the people in the Apple store had, was that they would be getting the keyboards as well.
Gotcha. All right, I did not start a timer, and we are still recording this differently.
So yes.
How deep are we into this thing?
We have 11 minutes right now.
Oh, well, we should probably skedaddle over to our – don't skedaddle. Anyway, we should go to mostly pedantic. mostly pedantic. We should move over to our other topic. How's that?
I think that sounds great. Yes, I am trolloping along over to our other topic.
Yeah, you know, are you really trolloping? I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. Just kidding. All right, so the other topic is we had, believe it or not,
doomed
an Apple death knell.
Yeah, this is number 70.
Number 70 in the Apple death knell counter.
So, Brian, what's happening this time? Why is that?
Well, a fellow named Brian Clark, and he even spells his name correctly with a Y. But despite his
C-L-Y-R-K-E?
Yes. Despite his parents choosing the right form of Brian to name him, he apparently went wrong from there. So he claims to be an Apple fan, like a lot of people.
They often do.
I call him an Apple doubter. He's not an Apple hater. He's an Apple doubter. And he said, and shall I give a quote?
I would love a quote.
Last month, he said, and I am quoting, Apple's latest earnings call announced its, quote unquote, most successful year ever. The numbers were reported. The stories were spun, and Wall Street basically anointed Apple the god of capitalism. They're all wrong. The actual story, or so says Brian Clark, because I am still quoting, the story we should be telling, he says, involves a different narrative. Apple is the largest company in the world, but success is fleeting. While the numbers are impressive, they don't come close to painting an accurate picture about how much trouble Apple is really in.
Wait, let me get this straight.
I'm not even done.
Oh, okay. Okay, please continue.
Apple's rise under Steve Jobs was historic. Its fall under Tim Cook is going to be much slower, more painful.
So the implication now, there is that the rise was painful? Because it's more painful?
Mostly pedantic about. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily the best pen piece I've ever read. And he was writing for the Next Web, a media outlet that I normally respect highly. Mm-hmm. This was not a good piece, and I do not think that Mr. Clark's reasoning stands up to much of anything. So you were going to ask about the delicious little line that I quote.
Yeah, so am I correct in assuming that what he's saying is that Apple is pulling one over on us and that they are doomed and ready to fail, but they're tricking us by selling so many products and making so much money that they appear to be successful, even on the brink of failure.
But it's all hiding, quote, how much trouble Apple is really in, unquote.
I'm having logic problems, now, Brian.
Well, so let me actually play devil's advocate, which I'm not going to play devil's advocate because the guy's just wrong. But let's look at Microsoft. Microsoft made more money under Steve Ballmer than it did in any point in its history. Yet the company was in trouble. And I think that's what he's trying. That's the sort of, that's the sort of framing that he's wanting to put on this.
Okay.
Because he goes on, basically, he offers several reasons to back all this up. And this was sort of my encapsulation of it. So Windows and Android are going to magically just come out of nowhere and out-innovate Apple, despite the fact that Android has precisely one moment of innovation that mattered for 2 years, and that was large screen devices. Mm-hmm. That was one thing that Samsung tried out of scores that people actually wanted and allowed Samsung to capture a large piece of the high-end market.
Right.
And then as soon as Apple brought out its own large screen device, you know,
That was that.
I mean, that one little advantage that the Android ecosystem had was gone. And all of the other things that Android has tried, by Android in this case, I really mean combination of Google and the hardware makers. All the other things that they've tried have not stuck. And I will say very specifically, as I've said often, that the one advantage that Android has is Google Now.
Yes.
Google Now beats the pants off of Apple's Proactive and is very useful and fantastic. But from a hardware standpoint, all of the hardware makers aren't doing anything. But anyway, despite that, despite reality, Mr. Clark says that Windows, which I mean, Windows isn't even a company, speaking of being mostly pedantic. He's a Windows and Android. Like neither of those are coming. So they're deep just breath. Apple's not going to be able to compete against Windows and Android. And Steve Jobs had basically all of the – he was responsible for all the innovation at Apple. And now that he's gone, Apple's never going to do anything that's new. And by the way, Apple Watch doesn't count. And Apple Car, I mean, geez, you know, Apple's not going to be able to beat Detroit, Tesla, or Google. And so therefore, Apple has no plan B. Apple is an iPhone company, and it's only going to be an iPhone company. It can only be an iPhone company. Apple can't do anything else. And as soon as iPhone sales drop, Apple is doomed. That's essentially what he's arguing.
Well, you can't argue with logic like that, but that's because you just...
And yet I did. So I will... What's really happening here is that Brian Clark can't imagine what else Apple will do next. And from there, he leaps to the conclusion that Apple, therefore, can't do anything next. Can't do a next thing.
And now, I find that fascinating. I mean, to have a train of logic or reasoning that goes from, I can't imagine there's something that a company could do, therefore the company cannot do anything.
Well, it's probably because he's not aware that that's the process he's going through. He's not aware that, at least, I mean, I don't know if he read my piece, but, you know, when you point it out that way, most people are going to go, oh, yeah, you're right. But clearly that's not what he was thinking. But here's the deal. All the people, you know, everyone said that Apple couldn't do another product. And, you know, it's been X years since Apple's released the iPad. And you know, clearly Apple can no longer innovate. And then Apple did Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm. And that was right about on time for when Apple would have entered a new product category.
There is no about time.
Well, I mean, okay. When I say about time, what I mean is Apple has this historic cycle where they have several years, like many years.
Well, we went 6 years between iPod and iPhone, and we went 3 years between iPhone and iPad, but the iPad was an extension of the iPhone.
Right. And so I don't consider the iPad in that. So it's like we went from iPod to iPhone as a major thing. And then the next one for me really is iPhone to Apple Watch.
I think iPad counts. It's a major new product category.
New product category, but not a major new area that they're in.
We'll have to save that for another show.
Yeah, because we're almost out of time.
Because we're almost out of time. But here's my big thing. Anyone who looks at Apple and says, well, what is Apple doing? And this, of course, requires you to ignore everything we know about Apple Car, mm-hmm. right? So we have to pretend that that's not happening for Brian Clark's arguments to make sense. But who among us saw the iPod coming, and who saw the iTunes Store, and who saw the iPhone, and who saw the iPad, and who saw the Apple Watch, and who saw the Apple Car? And the answer is no one. We knew about those things before they happened because of rumors and leaks.
Right.
But that's because Apple had already started them.
Right. So we don't know what else they have that they may be working on or are planning on working on.
We have no idea. And Mr. Clark certainly has no idea. And I also take just it just makes my blood boil. He argued. Actually, I'll quote him again. He said, the autonomous car project sounds promising. He's talking about Apple Car. Mm-hmm. But competing against Google and Tesla, in addition to auto industry giants like Lexus and Mercedes, is an uphill battle full of technology challenges, government red tape, and changing century-old transportation conventions. So what's the next best thing? So in other words, he just dismissed the Apple Car and then leaps to... So what's the next best thing? And he says, I don't know. Apple doesn't seem to either. But until it figures it out, Apple is just the next in a long line of once great companies whose best days are behind it. I mean, this is just like logical fallacies, straw men, red herrings. I mean, he's got them all. And I don't understand why is Google, but Tesla at least is already making cars.
Yes.
But why is Google the company that Apple can't beat?
Because that fits with his reason.
Doesn't make any sense. It's just, Apple Death Knell. It's just fascinating to me that we still get Apple Death Knells.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And now I can't wait to see what the next one is. Because is one to top.
Well, and Mr. Clark did, I got to find where I said that. He did bring something to the canon. That Apple's own success is hiding how hiding its failures. That is a new and novel argument for the Apple Death Knell canon.
You should send him a greeting card as a thank you.
Well, I wrote him a column. I feel like I've done my part.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. Hey, on a totally different subject, you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Star Wars and the Star Wars trailers and all that, and I said, if someone wants to go with me, if they're going to take me to see the movie, then I'm buying the drinks. Well, turns out that that's totally happening.
Sweet.
Yeah. So Rick Orman, he got in contact with me, and I think there's a few other people that are going to go with us. So it's going to be like a fun podcast get together to go see Star Wars. So that's totally awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
That's fantastic. Oh, you know what else we did?
It's actually Rich. I'm sorry about that, Rich.
We'll just edit that out. Don't let him know what a jerk you are.
Oh, yeah. No, that's my boss.
we set up an account, Twitter account.
We did.
For the Apple Context Machine. It's at Context Machine.
Yeah. So if you want to interact with us there, that's cool. We'll be watching.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have a link in the show notes, of course. But it's our new ACM account. And we would, of course, love to hear from you, and we'd love for you to follow us.
Yes, please do. Yes.
All right, and we are over.
We are, and you know that even without having a timer. So this is the part where music happens again. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Thanks for listening, because you guys rock.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our band is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
And at Star Wars. Kylo Ren isn't Luke.